At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Online at sleepbettercolumbus.com.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
So where's the office back at Division?
In the office, baby. Going out.
All right, bouncing into another weekend with you. Thrilled to have you with us. Rothman and Ice. Anthony Rothman here. Matty Ice to my right. CB is behind the glass, swimming around. How we feeling, boys?
Oh, it's a freaky Friday. I'm feeling amazing. The sports calendar is fully loaded.
Yeah,
just between, obviously, big baseball fan, NBA playoffs popping off. You got golf tournaments going on, the NBA, NFL draft right around the corner. So life is good for your boy right now. How you feeling, man?
Outstanding.
Yeah.
We cashed her in last night.
Oh, you brought
it
home,
huh? My boys did it. Yep. They did it. And, you know, I got to thank a few of them. I want to thank Zach Werenski for getting me two goals the other night, one in the final minute. I want to thank, I did not win the bet on McKinnon last night. However, I did win half of it. So if you took it individually, you got it. Ironically, he had 2 points. He did get 2 assists, so he got over the 1.5 points.
Yeah.
But he only had 1 shot on goal, which is wild. I think he rested a little bit of the third. Nishushkin for Colorado, 2 goals, a power play point, 6 shots on goal.
There we go.
Uyghur had a goal for Calgary. I had great matchups last night, and all that damn work paid off. That's updating roster. I mean, it's not as hard as fantasy baseball to manage, but it's a fun little ride.
Print the shirts for AR today.
Print it, baby.
Print the shirts, baby. What is Pratt? You get a cash in this league? You get it. What we get?
Yeah, I'll be having a nice little meal, that's for
sure. What's the payout on this thing, big dog?
I got to check and see what the purse is on that, because I think we pay a few spots.
That is a grind,
but honestly,
man.
It's really more about the winning. Honestly, it's not enough money to really make a difference.
Yeah, you're better than
that
me.
That makes sense.
I paid the man his money. Run me my money.
Oh, it was unbelievable. It was so good. And that Colorado-Edmonton game, and it was on ESPN last night. It was hockey night, and they lit them up.
Mm.
It was like men against boys. And the beautiful thing, and I'm not going to deny it, Edmonton sat a lot of dudes. I don't know why they threw Skinner in there to face that mess, but they did, and I was here for it. And so we got that done.
Okay.
We got our fan night at the Fury tonight.
Oh, yeah. We're in the building, man.
Volleyball, Columbus style.
We're going to be in the building. Cannot wait to see what this looks like. I haven't been to a volleyball game in years. I don't think I've ever been to a professional volleyball game. I got to go back to college and high school. So, yeah, I'm excited about this one tonight, man. It's going to be a good time.
Did you ever play volleyball? We did that.
In gym.
Pretty good.
In gym. I like to rise up and spike it off some people's domes every once in a while.
Rise.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't think I was one of those. I don't think I had that talent, but with the tennis, I could serve really well in volleyball.
Oh.
Same motion, pretty much. And, you know, I was more of a bump setter guy rather than the spiker.
Yes.
So you're telling Matty got up on his high horse.
Yeah, when I had some bounce back in the day in high school, we used to get it in, man. That was a fun
spike it off somebody's face.
Yeah, man, that's why you got to do it, especially like in gym class, right? Where you play dodgeball, you want to throw it off somebody's face.
Yeah.
Like, that's always a good time. You want to inflict a little pain every once in a while.
Yeah.
Never hurt nobody.
Like Gregory Focker from Meet the Fockers.
Which, by the way, those movies just...
Meet the Parents was
all
first.
Of them are good.
But the greatest scene in the pool when they're playing the volleyball is the best. Florence Nightingale over here would play a little defense. Hey, it was a big shot.
Yeah, I enjoyed that movie series. They did well with those. Absolutely.
Is that the kind of rise up you're talking about? His spike in the movie?
Yeah, I think... Yeah. That works for me. Yeah, that works.
That's pretty good. It's been a while since you probably saw it, so...
Maybe. They're always on TV.
Are they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
so many movie channels now on cable, you know, Paramount and AMC and TV, like they're just
they're all over the place,
you know, especially for you, big movie guy, and likes watching movies in the 80s only.
Yeah, but that wasn't an 80s. That wasn't an 80s movie, though.
Was that early 2000s? When did the first one come out? I want to say like 2003? Is that too early?
Feels late 90s to me, but I don't know. It's been a long time. We got Mark Schofield on SB Nation 1233. Sam Amico previewing the Cavs in the playoffs at 133. And our boy J. Lou throwing some chin music. Guards on fire. City on fire. I don't know where he is. I've heard a rumor that he is not even in the country right now. He's going to be dialing in on some satellite phone. I really don't know.
Wait, what is he up to?
I don't know.
I'm interested. Okay.
Sounds like an island location to be determined.
Oh, okay. Good for you, Jay.
Island location.
Flex on him.
To be determined.
Flex on him. By the way, Meet the Parents came out in 2000.
Oh, look at that.
That was pretty close.
Right on the turn.
Yeah, pretty close.
Right on the turn. I heard Bo and the boys talking about this earlier. You know, they should be in Jacksonville. They should be talking about with Doug Peterson and the pre-draft presser and all that. And it was like everything you need to know about whether to trade down or prefer trading up. When you think about the takeaways that could have come away from this press conference, could they trade up for a wide receiver? You know, is that a situation for them? The offensive line early looks kind of unlikely. Maybe a surprise corner. Is that break into a little Mel Kiper surprise corner?
You were really
trade
starting
up a little
to get
bit.
There.
Trevor Lawrence, the extension feels imminent. Let's get him a weapon, Maddie. Maybe trade up, get a receiver.
You know what's crazy, Eric? Your cadence isn't that far off from Mel. It really isn't. When you get rolling on something, you're kind of the twin of Mel Kiper when you get your roll on, big dog.
It's a good one. It's a good one. I don't feel like I can impersonate him from a voice standpoint. Yeah. From a cadence standpoint, I can.
Yeah, you're good with that.
It's not my Harry Carey, which is number one in the bag, but I will tell you.
Can I get a hey?
Great stuff. All right. By the way, that should be what everyone's talking about in Jacksonville. Yet they aren't.
What happened?
So they had the press conference, and people that are listening are convinced that the general manager of a professional football team, and I don't know why I said that, that's not a disclaimer. In fact, that may be more reason he did, let out a big gas bag during a news conference yesterday. And if you listen to the video from the event, it sure seems like everyone is right. And by the way, people have been backing Orlovsky on the windshield wiper thing, that it was 100% the windshield wiper.
Well, he got some money out of it, too. Didn't he get a little endorsement deal with Dude Wipes? I think that happened shortly after that. So shout out to Dan Orlovsky. Yeah. Get your money up, big dog. I see it.
Everybody's playing the game, aren't they? So Balke and his head coach, Doug Peterson, were meeting with the media to break down the draft, right? And then all of a sudden, and here's the great thing, and I really got to give it to him, because this deserved a really hard question at the presser about the follow-up. Because unlike Orlovsky, he didn't mask it. It was like, okay, excuse me, and keep going.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, okay, I'm a human being, aren't you? Made a mistake. Ever do that? Like, that's what I think he wanted to say. Mm. And he's 60, so who knows? Maybe he had a nice fiber-esque breakfast, and maybe he had to let a little out of the balloon. Here it is if you haven't heard it.
I've got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
I mean,
come on, man. Can you play it again, CB, please?
It's amazing.
I've got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
So, obviously, it wasn't a burp, and it wasn't his stomach growling from not eating breakfast.
You can hear the chair rumbling. You can hear the chair
rumble in the jungle.
That was insane. Maybe he had one of those burritos, like
burrito?
No, like my man had it next Friday. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. Remember where he ate that burrito, put some hot sauce on my burrito, baby, and it lit him up? Maybe he had one of those burritos, but that, no doubt, AR, was a rumble in the jungle.
Here's the problem, and this is what I don't get. There's zero laughter. So either the Jags media contingent was like, okay, don't make this, don't call him out on that. Or maybe they were just so focused on what he was saying, like, wait, did I hear what I think I just heard? Because nobody laughed. If you hear the video, like, no one's chuckling. He never broke character except for saying, excuse me.
Which I like.
So, I mean, it's entirely possible that, I mean, I heard them talking about an ESPN this morning nationally, and I think Michelle Smallman said, oh, it sounded like maybe it was something in his throat. No. Like, what?
No, that wasn't a clearing of the, it wasn't anything
no.
like that.
No, it's, I don't know. I mean, here's the way you know. Like, he obviously is very, he wants to tell us, excuse me.
He acknowledged
it. So what were you trying to get excused for?
Yeah, no doubt.
Was it a rumbling in your stomach? What was it? You're not going to excuse me for something with the chair.
What makes the situation worse from that point is if the smell takes over the room.
It didn't sound like from the audio portion, as an expert in the field, that would equate to...
An expert of what field?
A hazmat suit being needed.
What expert
well,
of
I
what?
I assume I...
Can you explain that, please?
I would think that's... If you want to equate sound. Now, we can all go to the SBDs and all that. I mean, but that wasn't silent.
No.
So I don't know how it could have been deadly.
Well,
now, if that could have been deadly, and, right...
Absolutely. You know what my mind...
But whoever smelt it, dealt it.
You know what my mind goes
to? So you don't
want
to say anything.
You remember when Torts a couple years ago came
in?
This room reeks of BO. And I don't think if that was anybody that was farting. I just don't know if the media members that day were throwing on the Old Spice. Maybe we just forgot to hit the bar of Dove soap. But Torts called everybody out. He walked in that room and was like, this ain't it. This room reeks of BO.
I kept it in my little movie array. I just have to find it.
That was amazing, man.
All right, I'll look for that at some amazing. Point.
But so, yeah, no question. We know what that was. As you identified off the top with his excuse me, he's letting everybody know there was a little rumble in the jungle. You do that and hopefully you move on. What do you got, CB?
I'll tell you right now, this room smells of BO.
It did. It's a... Well, Torts, the hockey media, they're not very hygienic as the old hockey media back in the 70s.
Can you spin it one more time just for me, please?
Which one?
I'll tell you right now, this room smells of BO.
The best is the East Coast room. That's the best.
Man, that was great.
All right, so Trent Baalke wins the award for not having a trace of self-consciousness. I'm human. I blasted. Excuse me. Let's move on.
Yep.
Unless we all have to vacate the room for some
reason.
And it didn't sound like that type of detonation would equal a room having to be vacated.
You never know.
I can tell.
Anthony Rothman, the passing gas expert.
I can tell. Well, I can tell for sure. Like, that didn't have enough density to my destiny. You are my density.
Oh, man.
And he got benefit of the chair muffling it and probably... tamping down the smell. The way the smell's released is when he gets up and then he crop dusts the room. As long as he stayed there and answered enough questions, he's good.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
He can just keep that thing down.
Yeah, that's tough.
Right? All right. Well, CB, thanks for the investigative reporting. Did you want to, at some point, CB, with your knowledge, compare and contrast him to Orlovsky's?
Orlovsky's, I think the best one to compare it to is that Monday Night Football game from a couple seasons back.
Okay. You have that?
I do have it right now.
All right, go ahead.
Now, the big...
Okay.
The big change is the commitment to running the football.
I mean, that's obviously him doing that with his mouth, right?
No, he was on camera, I think. Or was he not?
No, so they were showing like shots of like Josh Allen on the field.
I don't
and
know,
whatnot.
Man. It sounded fake. However, the pausing and the stumbling would lead you to believe that he was... embarrassed.
I don't know.
All right. Well, we got 3 hours to figure it out. We also have to figure out this draft, and it's coming fast and furious like Baalke next Thursday. And I would say this, the pick is in for one team right near the top. And I'm not talking about number one. You'll find out next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Three dudes who'll make you feel like the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah. We hornswoggled you good.
Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2-for-2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
I meant to tell you guys that, you know, the Packers are playing the Eagles in Brazil in September on a Friday night. And there's a stupid story floating around that that stadium, their rival, I guess, wears green. So think of it this way. Think of Ohio State and the banning of wearing blue, you know, at the Woody or wherever. And it's not like you're going to jail, but they don't want you wearing it. And in Brazil, I guess, since their rival is green, they have kind of a no green deal. And so there was a story I saw today that the Packers and the Eagles are heading to Brazil, and there's a real problem because that stadium doesn't want any green in it. I'm thinking, okay, this is idiotic. It's not the soccer game. You're hosting an NFL game. These are their uniforms.
Yeah, there's nothing they can do about
it. To do with it. Yeah, I mean, last I checked, the Blue Jackets not only have blue in their name, but they have blue in their uniform, and they're going to be playing in the shoe in an outdoor game against another a rival team that, ironically, is going to wear red.
Hmm.
So it'd be like saying that. It'd be like saying, well, Ohio Stadium, they don't want any blue in it. You guys are in trouble. You better change your uniform color. I couldn't believe this. And the end of the story did say, well, we'll see, to be determined. Like,
what's going to happen? Like, nothing is going to happen. This is going to go off as is. Those people could sit at home and be salty about it and then move on with their lives 3 hours later when the game is done. Like, get over it.
It's an NFL game.
Exactly.
It's so weird. I mean, am I going to be wrong on this? Like, is this going to be the big controversy going into the fall?
Because, like, I keep asking, what can they do? What can fans do? Rally around the stadium and not let people in? Like, come
on. No, I'm not talking about the fans. I'm talking about the Packers and the Eagles.
No, I understand, but you're saying the stadium that they're going to doesn't want green.
Correct.
So I'm saying the people that are there, that are fans of that team, what can they do to prevent this from happening? From people wearing green. That's my question. Nothing.
You mean what can they do to prevent the players from wearing green?
No, fans that are going to come in, I'm assuming, from the Packers fan base, the Eagles fan base that are wearing the green and the Cheeseheads. Like,
of course.
This is going to go off as is.
You would think.
Yeah, like, come on.
Just, I guess in this world, something, like, hey, it's some story that at least it lives for now.
Yeah,
so I hit send and let it go.
I guess.
I was looking on Bet365.
Yeah.
You know, I said to you guys yesterday, or whatever I said it, you know, this has never happened in the NFL where quarterbacks have gone 1, 2, 3, and 4. So a bet against history would be if you think that it's going to happen. The bet with history would be don't mess with it.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4 pick's going to be a receiver by Arizona. The problem we all have is what if they trade out?
Mm.
And so if you, let's hypothetically say we get 3 quarterbacks, however we get them. Let's say the Patriots stay there and they make the pick and they take a quarterback. So I just looked on our site on Bet365 that Marvin Harrison is -200. He is a massive favorite to be the 4th overall pick. So what they're saying right now is Arizona's making the pick and they're taking him, which I think is dead on correct.
And to add to your point, Peter Schrager, NFL reporter, was on with McAfee yesterday and had this to say about that 4th overall pick.
Do you think the Colts maybe move up even more to get Marvin Harrison Jr.? Or do you think maybe quarterback, Marvin Harrison drops down a little bit more?
That would be, I mean, if the Cardinals sit pretty at 4, Harrison, I'm told, is the pick, but they could move out.
So there you go. Combine that with
Harrison's pick, but they could move
out.
Yeah,
of course, you got to keep everything in play. Right. You listen to all these GMs talking, hey, we could stay, we could trade out. Everybody's going to play both lanes.
Should I stay or should I go now?
Exactly. But I think it makes a lot of sense for them to stay there at 4 because they have plenty of picks. They don't need more picks this year. They have another first round pick at the bottom of the first round this year. They've got obviously the 2 ones I just mentioned. They've got 3 third round picks and they've got 2 fifth round picks and they're picking in every other round. So they're good with the draft. I think you continue to build this thing around Kyler Murray. You just lost Hollywood Brown to the Kansas City Chiefs. They need a no doubt number 1 wide receiver to pair with an emerging tight end in Trey McBride, who led their team in receiving yards last year. So you built it down in the trenches, or part of it down in the trenches last year, where you picked Paris Johnson Jr. sixth overall. Now you drop in your number one wide receiver, help out Kyler, pair him with McBride, and away you go.
Absolutely. I'd bet on it. Now, I will tell you, our friend of the program, Dane Brugler, who was mocking some things, as all experts do, had a wild scenario where the quarterbacks do go 1, 2, 3, 4. Arizona's not making the pick, and it is my Vikings.
Okay.
Now, here's the crazy scenario. It's not Vikings using their ammo to come up, because the Vikings would trade their pick this year, 11, mm-hmm. and 23. Mm-hmm. So they're... And a third rounder for the Cardinals' number four pick. But here's the funny part. The Cardinals say, well, wait a minute. You come up and get your quarterback, but we're not sacrificing getting Marvin. So we're going to then get on the phone and talk to the Chargers, who are more than happy to maybe move a little bit off the five spot, right? And what we do is we give the Chargers the 11 we just got from the Vikes.
See, because if I'm the Chargers AR, I don't want to move all five either, because I want to get my receiver as well at five with what they just lost in the offseason.
Well, what if I give you the best tackle at 11?
Mm-mm. I want one of neighbors of Dunze or Marvin Harrison Jr. to pair with Herbert. We got to have some type of weaponry on the outside.
What do they have right now?
Just the running backs is all they've done. I mean, I can check for you real quick, but at wide receiver right now, if I can't think of anybody, I don't think that's a very good sign. I don't know what they have going on right now at receiver. I mean, right now, if they had to play a game, obviously it's Quentin Johnston.
Okay, well, second year.
He didn't live up to it last year. Joshua Palmer and Darius Davis.
Palmer was injured but came back.
Yeah, I'm not passing up on one of the big three receivers.
Yeah. Well, they thought Quentin would be a star.
And I can't go into the season hoping that he will be that after what he did last year. No, I need more.
Hope's not a strategy?
No, I can't rock with that. So he
did mock that move where Vikings come up to 4, Arizona slots back to 5, Chargers slot back to 11 and get some capital, and then everybody's happy. Mm. Vikes get their quarterback, Arizona gets the receiver, Chargers get some capital and trade back and get a great tackle. I'm just saying that's what he did.
And look, that's his opinion.
They could get the strongest offensive lineman in the draft, perhaps. Who knows?
They just need playmakers, man.
Well, yeah, you've got a guy. You've got a guy QB. We'll ask Mark Schofield about it next. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Best bet on the radio. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right. Draft talk, mock drafts. It's outstanding because you can't really be wrong right now. And our guy Mark Schofield is right more than most. At SB Nation with us now on the Bryant Heat and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Mark, how you been?
I'm doing well, Fred. Hope everybody is doing well. And yes, you can still be wrought in mock draft season, as readers have pointed out to me over and over again throughout the years. But that's part of the fun of it, is trying to make some predictions and getting them wildly wrong.
So a bet against history would be that the quarterbacks are not going to go 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, we know there are some desperate teams out there, and Arizona might be willing to come out of 4 if the deal is right. And I'm not even saying even New England wouldn't be willing to come out. But for this conversation, if we hypothetically say that Williams-Daniels may go 1, 2, 3, or whatever order you want, does Arizona stay there and make the pick?
I mean, I think if there is a trade, it will come at 4. I know you put New England to the side. They basically said, yesterday Elliott Wolf did it, that they'd be comfortable drafting a quarterback at 3. So I don't think, you know, they're going to move off of 3. But 4 is, I think, the inflection point. I think it would take a massive trade package for Monty Austin Ford to come out of that spot, because he's staring at Marvin Harrison Jr., pairing him with Kyler Murray. I think that's a massive injection of talent for an offense that needs an injection of talent. So it would take a lot. He said 3 first-round picks. I know that there are, like you said, quarterback and needy teams. 3 first-round picks for QB4 in the draft is a very steep price to pay. And I understand, you know, if you're Minnesota, if you're the Giants, if you're Denver, you have a need at the position, you might be willing to pay that. But when it comes down to it, when it's, you know, Thursday night and you've got to make that phone call, are you really going to say, sure, here's 3 first-round picks for QB4 in the draft? That just seems very steep to me. So I think ultimately, you know, we'll see Harrison come off the board at 4 to Arizona. Then the tricky one is 5. A lot of people in recent days, Daniel Jeremiah, Adam Schefter, have said, you know, maybe the Chargers, look, they've got the quarterback, they've got the left tackle, they can move. Maybe they're the team that trades out and we see a quarterback come off the board at 5. And it's also important to remember, you've got Jim Harbaugh, you know, down in Los Angeles now with the Chargers, and he's been talking up J.J. McCarthy a lot. Now, obviously, look, it's his former quarterback. He's going to say nice things about him. But there's also a layer to it of talking J.J. McCarthy up, and if he's the quarterback that's available when they're on the clock, now you might see the trade for J.J. McCarthy. So I think we go QB, QB receiver, then maybe QB again at 5.
Mark, between the Chicago Bears and the Minnesota Vikings, which structure do you think is better for one of these rookie quarterbacks to walk into?
You know, the Bears have done, I think, a pretty good job at building an environment with the talent and with the moves that they've made this offseason to make it a conducive environment for, let's be honest, it's going to be Caleb Williams. And so, you know, I think adding Keenan Allen has been a nice move for them. They've added some players as well, DeAndre Swift. And, you know, sitting at 9, they're going to be in position to draft another piece for that offense. So I think they've done a very good job. But, you know, you look at Kevin O'Connell, you know, you look at the job that he did last year. You know, when Cousins goes down and you're running quarterbacks in and out of a lineup from Josh Dobbs to Jaren Hall and others, you know, he's built an offense that I think is going to be conducive to a quarterback coming into that environment and having some success. And hypothetically, if it is J.J. McCarthy, I think that's a very nice, clean fit. And so from a talent perspective, yes, the Bears have done some good things, but I do like Kevin O'Connell and his ability to coach and, I think, develop a young quarterback. When you have Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, I think that's certainly going to help as well. So I think both teams are going to be good landing spots for rookie quarterbacks, but right now I'd give that edge to Minnesota.
You know, Mark, I was thinking about some things that feel like locks, and I know you meant Caleb Williams, and you said that, and I agree with you. That feels like as more to lock as you could get. The other one that feels right to me is that the Buffalo Bills are going to get Josh Allen some sort of a replacement weapon. Whether they trade up, we'll see. I think they have to if they want to get the right guy. Do you see the Bills doing anything other than drafting a receiver with their first-round pick?
I don't. And, you know, it's strange to say that, oh, you know, a team that's picking near the back of the first round is a lock to do X, Y, or Z, because there are obviously so many variables and so many moving parts here. But they need help with the wide receiver position, you know, and they've been linked to, and, you know, you look at any mock draft and say what you want about mock drafts, but they're interesting data points. You know, they've been linked to receivers throughout this process. You've got Von Miller putting the post out on social media last week, you know, with a meme format, somebody coming on stage to celebrate it. He says it's Brandon Bean when he trades up for a wide receiver. Adam Schefter and others in recent days have mentioned the sort of Julio Jones-type trade, what Atlanta did years ago when they came up a number of spots to go get Julio Jones. Could Buffalo be that kind of team, say, into the back half of that top 10 to get a Rome Odunze, or, you know, if somehow Malik Nabers falls past 6 to the Giants, which seems like what New York might do if they don't go QB, could the Bills come up for Malik Nabers? And so it seems like a big move for a receiver is coming. A lot of people have hinted at it. It seems like Buffalo would be the team to make that move.
Zooming out from the draft, I want to hit you up about the Dallas Cowboys and what you think is going to happen with Dak Prescott, right? Going into, I believe here, the final year of his deal, looking at some of the contracts that have been handed out over the last couple of off seasons. What would you do with Dak? Let me just leave it at that. What would you do with Dak Prescott going into 2024?
I mean, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. And I think an underrated theme to this draft coming up, my friends, is next year's quarterback class, next year's rookie class, has some question marks. Shedeur Sanders, Quinn Ewers, you know, there are players that we hope will take that sort of next step, and we'll be talking about this time next year as players that are going to the top five, the top 10. But the league has a somewhat wary view of that quarterback class right now. And as such, you might see teams either reach for quarterbacks this year or not reach for a quarterback but start eyeing a player like Dak Prescott in next year's cycle. So if it were me, if it were Dallas, I'd try to get a deal done. But Dallas has a lot of decisions to make. Number one, they've got CeeDee Lamb, who's not part of the voluntary workouts. You know, because of his contract situation, they're going to have to pay Micah Parsons soon. They might have to pay Dak Prescott. But if you're Dallas, I would rather pay Prescott than sort of roll the dice on an uncertain quarterback market. Now, look, the Cowboys could be a sneaky team to draft a quarterback early, not saying round one, but sometime day two, maybe if a Michael Penix Jr. falls, or maybe they like Spencer Rattler or somebody in that sort of second tier of quarterbacks in this class, because they do have this looming decision. If it were me, the quarterback you've got to know is probably better than what you don't. The uncertainty at the quarterback position out there coming up. So I would pay Dak, but that's going to be fascinating to watch.
You know, you mentioned Spencer Rattler, and real fast, I was thinking that maybe Sean Payton would want to do something. I don't know. He doesn't have the ammunition, and he'd have to wait almost till maybe, you know, the third round to try to get Rattler, but I don't know if he'll make it all the way there. What do you anticipate Denver doing? Just kind of saying, hey, we're in this spot, we stay here, and we try to take a value QB?
Tony Pauline over at SportsKita had a report out a couple of days ago that basically said Sean Payton doesn't want to do what happened in 2017 when it was reported that he wanted Patrick Mahomes, tried to trade up to get him. That didn't happen. They thought they were sitting pretty when the Bengals drafted John Ross at 9. They were at 11, but that's when the Chiefs came up. It wouldn't surprise me if Denver tries to be a little bit aggressive to go get somebody, and if that falls through, then maybe they stay where they are and still draft a quarterback. And it might seem like a reach, but they need to get their quarterback sooner rather than later. And Bo Nix has been linked with the Broncos. A lot of people, Trevor Sikkema, Pro Football Focus, my dear friend, has said that, look, he was built to play quarterback for Sean Payton. That might be the move then for them at 12.
Yeah. Great stuff, Mark. Always appreciate your insight, man. Enjoy it, and we'll talk again soon.
Sounds great, my friends. Have a great weekend and enjoy the draft.
Yep, you the man. Mark Schofield, SB Nation, with us on the Bryant Heating Coin Systems Fan Guest Hotline. All right, it's Friday. It's going to be 12:48 shortly, and that means one thing, overs and unders. Make your picks with us, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Here's a listener tweet. Can I tase Common Man in the nuts? Fine by us, but he may like it. Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rothman and Ice presents Overs and Unders.
Sponsored by Buyers Mazda. BuyersMazda.com. Come see why it's better to buy at Buyers Mazda.
All right, CB, how'd the house do against us this week?
Yeah, so the house made a little bit of a rebound, but not a ton. You both went 3-3 on the week last week. You both missed the Masters. Scotty just went under at 11, under par.
It really, honestly, Maddie, what got us was that weather on Thursday into Friday.
The wind and
like
all that.
Just, yeah. We didn't make the move we needed to make on Friday, and then we're kind of stuck. But the fact that he got within one stroke, I guess, is somewhat of a consolation.
We had a bad beat in the Ohio State spring game. It went over at 67 points. So, AR, you missed that one. It looks like Kevin Gosman's over-under for strikeouts. Matty Ice, you missed that. And then you both went under on the weather. It hit 81 on Sunday.
It was a little thick out there.
Boy, that bad beat in the Buckeye spring game. Here's my question to you, though, because I did take the under, and he's scrambling at the end. I can't remember who. If that ball falls incomplete, do I still lose? Because technically, it wouldn't have been a three and out. If that ball isn't picked, do we go under?
I believe you do, because I think the interception was worth 2 points, if I'm correct.
It definitely put it over. I was just wondering, if the ball fell incomplete, would they have gotten any points, that defense, for any kind of...
Yeah, like a PBU, pass breakup.
It wouldn't have been, I don't think, a three and out or something in the red zone. Like, you never know with the wacky scoring.
Call James during the break. He can hit you with the score.
Because he lost me the over-under. The point here.
Shout out to threes. Yeah.
All right, PGA Tour this weekend is down at RBC Heritage down in Hilton Head, one of my favorite courses in the country. The over-under for the winning score is...
Okay.
Wow.
Played that a couple times?
Well, no. I did get to sit in one of the lawn chairs on the 18th hole by the lighthouse before.
Nice. That's cool.
That's why it's special to me.
Look at the kid.
Was it an Adirondack chair? Was it a rocking chair?
No, it wasn't a rocking chair.
What's that first chair you said?
Adirondack.
Oh, I don't think I know anything
about
that.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, me too. Goodness.
But besides the point, the winning over-under score is at 16.5 under par.
So this is weird. I think Fitzpatrick went over this last year. You're right. It's a cool course. Never played it. And I played golf in Hilton Head. But unlike CB, I couldn't afford to go over there. But at the time. So I would say this. I'm going to take the over. It usually goes under this the last 4 or 5 years, but I think the way they're handling the course, I like the way they handle themselves. I'm going to take the over.
By the way, now looking at this, was it Adirondack chair?
Yeah.
I know about those. Just didn't know the name. That's cool. You taught me something new today. I appreciate you, big dog. So the leaderboard right now here, we got 11 under. Tom Hogue, 7 under on the day. Okay. We got... three guys at minus nine. 9 under right now, looking at the current leaderboard. So I'm going to roll with you. I took a peek at the weather down at Hilton Head.
Okay, which we
got 80s the next couple days. A chance of rain on Sunday. 45% chance of rain. And no, CB, I did not look at the Columbus weather. I promise I didn't cheat you there. But I did look at Hilton Head, so I'm going with the OVA. Give me the over.
It was that chair, just to let you know. I just looked it up. Yeah. That's right.
I figured it would be, CB.
All right. Donovan Mitchell in game one against those Orlando Magic. His over-under for points is 25.5.
See, this one is tough. This one is tough for me just because I'm torn with how explosive he can be.
It's like going into Baskin and Robbins with Frank Caliendo. This is going to be tough.
Exactly, because on the other side of that is this legit Orlando Magic defense. They're fourth in points allowed, but Jalen Suggs is an absolute menace on defense. Ninth in the league in steals, and I think he's going to get a nice amount of minutes guarding Donovan Mitchell. 25.5, CB. Oh, give me the under. This Orlando Magic defense is for real, and they got a lot of size.
So they played them 3 times this year.
Yeah.
And he went, in December, he went 22. 35, 25 in January.
Oof.
So that means he went under this twice against the Magic.
Yeah.
He's got the ability. Mm-hmm. He's been a little on and off this year, obviously, with injuries.
Right. Yeah.
And now you're in the playoffs. So I am going to ride with you on the slight under.
I don't love this, though. I don't love it, but we'll roll with the under.
All right, Lakers in their game one against the Nuggets. It's over under for team total points for the Lakers at 108.5.
So this is another interesting one, because back in October, 107 in a loss, February 106 in a loss, March 114 in a loss. Mm. And he's got us at 108.5. Again, my tiebreaker is the playoffs.
Playoffs.
So I'm going to take the under.
See, here's the thing. The Lakers have infused a couple new guys into this thing.
Transfusion.
Which are pretty good, by the way. You had one of those?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like the trend.
Little Tito's and grape juice. Am I missing something else in that, I think?
Oh, I thought you were talking about a blood transfusion.
Oh, no. Not that. I'm talking about sipping a little something. I'm actually going to go with the over. They have now Spencer Dinwiddie. They haven't had Gabe Vincent, one of their big offseason pickups, all year long. So give me the over. Denver likes to play a little up and down as well.
All right. Justin Verlander returns. He faces the Nationals today. His over-under for strikeouts is 5.5.
Funny little hint here. I'm probably going to put him in pressure.
All right, we won't dig in too deep on that, so you can get busy then. Here's my fear with this AR is he may be on some type of pitch count since he's coming back. So I'm going to go with the under.
Massive under.
Okay.
I'm going with you. I'm going all in on the under.
All right, Leafs Bruins game one. The over-under for total goals is set at 5.5.
All right, so great matchup, right? Historic matchup. Toronto trying to exercise the Game 7 curse against the Bees. Boston swept the season series, but just to give you a little bit of some research, we only went over 5.5 one time in this series this year. And by the way, it took, they had a shootout and an overtime, and it took the overtime to get this thing over. The last two games, I think, have been 4-1. You're probably getting Samsonov against Swayman or Allmark, I assume. I'm gonna ride history here, even though the Leafs are so good at scoring. Like, I mean, they're probably number two to Colorado. I feel the under in this based on the series and how they've played this year.
To your point, Leafs are, they're second in the league in goals per game. So you were right.
And Boston's not horrible. They're probably top 15.
So, okay. So, but they're, you know, their defense has been solid, right? Mm-hmm. And they're getting some good action in the net. What's throwing me off is,
man, all those Leafs that can score.
Well, just that and two out of the last four for Boston. They've given up four goals to their opponent. So
it's not a bad call by you. Both of them have kind of stumbled a little bit on the way in.
But I'm going to roll with AR on this one. I'm going to go with the under.
And finally, it looks like mid-50s this weekend here in Columbus. We'll set the high temperature at over under 58.5.
Ooh.
It's just, okay. Maybe a tough number. Not sure.
CV's pretty good at these weather.
In tune with the barometer. I think it's pronounced thermometer. All right, go ahead.
I think a little sun's going to pop out between Saturday and Sunday. So give me the over. I never feel good about these.
I won't be here. I'll be in Chi-Town where the high is going to be about 46.
Oh, man, good
job. So I will say over with you because you have a good sense of the temps.
I guess.
I'm going to ride the over. Hey, CB, I saw a quick headline here. I want you to give us some insight on it next. You don't have to think about it. I mean, you can think about it through the break. But I saw that Kim Kardashian finally got the diss track she deserves from Taylor Swift.
Oh, God.
I don't know about this. I know CB does. You'll hear his analysis next. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2-for-2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
All right, second hour of the program. Sam Amico will come on, break down the Cavs and Magic for us. Maybe we'll ask him if he's taking the over-under on Donovan. We'll do pressure cooker at 120 as well. All right, CB, saw the headline here. I guess Taylor Swift just knocked out another couple of quick albums here. Just throw them out.
So it was originally, I believe, a 16-track album posted last night at midnight, and then she released at 2 a.m. a second side or a double album version with 31 songs on it.
Which is excessive to me. I don't need 31 tracks on a new album. Where are you at on that? A little too much for me.
31 tracks.
It's a lot of lyrics to learn, you know?
Well, the thing about it is that Swifties believe it's because 31 backwards is 13, which is her lucky number. Yeah,
which makes sense.
We did learn
Speaking of 13, I was, you know, listening to some serious, you know, MLB stuff this morning driving in, and there's a commercial of Taylor Swift that popped up in this new album that CB's talking about on Channel 13. The album's playing all day long, just on a loop. Just completely
all
dedicated.
Day, all damn night.
Exactly. Just nothing else is playing on that channel but this new album.
Let me ask you guys this. If you were making an album, and I'm glad they still call them albums, I guess. Yeah. I thought that would be, I don't know what else you could call them, but right. It's kind of nice that sticks. If you were her, wouldn't you want to spread out those tracks to get more buys? So you're giving your customer 31 pieces, 31 products, individual products on one album. Are you charging them like triple of what a normal album would cost? Because that's where I would go from a business standpoint.
I don't think we're even charging anymore. You just fire it up on Apple Music and it's there. Like, obviously you're paying for Apple Music, but you're not paying like going to the store and buying a CD.
Wait a minute, that's how it is now?
Oh yeah, you could fire up Apple Music, type in Taylor Swift, the new album will pop up and away you go.
How much is that subscription to the Apple Music?
It's about $10 a month, I think, off the top of my head. Maybe a little bit more than that.
Okay. What if you're not like an iPhone person?
You got Spotify.
Okay.
There's plenty of other apps to get your
music
on.
So many apps, so little time.
You know, we used to do it back in the day. LimeWire.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know about LimeWire, Maddie.
It's dark alleys.
Maddie, the Napster.
Get your LimeWire on.
That took a while to download.
Cracking the code.
But once you got it.
You were in.
You at least had them.
Then you had to get like
they were on your laptop though.
The little MP3 player. Yeah, that was a nice little legal way to get it done back in the day.
Folks, Maddie just admitted he downloaded illegal music. Hey. It's punishable up to 6 months in a correctional facility. So CB, what is this whole why does she not like Kim Kardashian?
Well, it really stems from back in 2009 at the VMAs when Kanye came on stage and pretty much stood her up. That's when she won the award at the VMAs. It then spilled over into a song called Famous by Kanye.
He was upset she had won?
Yeah, he believed that Beyonce should have won the award.
Okay. Queen B, shout out to
that. It eventually rolled over into a song called Famous by Kanye, where pretty much he claims he got Taylor famous.
Yeah.
Oh. And he said a line that wasn't very appropriate, and she wasn't very happy about it, but he claims that she approved of the line. So then where Kim comes into this is where she exposed a recorded conversation basically between Kanye and Taylor, making it seem like she lied about saying no to the approval.
Ooh.
This basically comes through, the feud kind of centers around that and then builds up into this new song on the album called Thank You, Amy. And she capitalized the K, the I, and the M in the series there of the name of the song, pretty much hinting to everyone it's about Kim Kardashian.
I'm here for this.
Now, who's Amy?
So it's basically a character she builds in the song about like a high school bully or a high school rival, because she feels like she's been bullied by Kim in the past with this stuff.
That's clever. All right, continue to break down the lyrics for us.
I'm not going to go too deep into the lyrics, but the one that really catches everyone's eyes is that one of her daughters, Kim's, is Northwest, and she's very famous for being like on TikTok singing songs and whatnot, and Kim sometimes participates in that, and she put a line in here. She says, "And one day your kid comes home singing a song that only us two is going to know is about you."
Ooh. Mm. Oh, my niece is going to be so impressed with me when I get home.
So pretty much Northwest loves Taylor Swift, and she's going to be singing these lyrics and not knowing it's a diss track to her own mother.
Now that shots fire. When you're involving the kids in your beef, that's usually an out of bounds thing, right? Don't talk about parents. Don't talk about the kids. But Taylor Swift's like, gloves off. I've had enough of Kim K. T-Bone was telling us before we came in here that his daughters woke up in the middle of the night to listen to this new album. She's that girl, man.
Like, set an alarm or just the body clock
goes
off?
He told us that they went to bed early, woke up right after midnight, and wanted to listen to the album.
Just get wired all night. Just, here we go.
Maybe being around Travis Kelce's made her a little edgier. You know, because Travis got a little bit of that in his game. I mean, he called out the Cincinnati mayor and called him a jabroni.
Yeah. Listen, I'm here for all of this, I guess. I mean, it's fun. I don't know. I think it's probably just frivolous stuff, but
we need more beef. We got beefs coming back.
More beef steak. Because
back in the day in hip-hop, beef was a real thing. Now it's coming back with Rick Ross and Drake and Future and Kendrick Lamar and all that. Now we got Taylor Swift and Kim K going at each other. Let's go.
Yes, maybe even more interesting than the draft at this point. But the draft will take over next week. And if you believe the hype about J.J. McCarthy and his rising stock, then, of course, I can think anything is possible, right? I do feel like him going 3 is very interesting to me, because the Patriots, if they do stick there and take a quarterback, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that it has to be Drake May. Because if J.J. McCarthy is much more, how should I say this? He just feels safer, but maybe not as high of a ceiling. then we'll see. I mean, most of these teams that want to swing big for a quarterback are swinging big on ceiling and potential. Like, I'll find my safe quarterback later. I'm trying to win Super Bowls and find a franchise guy. Would I pick J.J. McCarthy third in the draft? No. But would we have picked Anthony Richardson fourth last year?
I would have.
Maybe not. You would have. Some wouldn't have.
And it's because of what you just said. You're betting on crazy upside, right, with that skill set. That's what you're betting on. So what's interesting now is, you know, there's been some shift in the odds when it comes to not the third pick, but the second pick with Washington. Mm-hmm. Because now you look at where some of the odds were about a week ago, and I don't know, got that about a week ago. No, that song stuck in my head. But now we've got Drake May and Jane Daniels with the same exact odds, AR, to go second overall at Washington. And for a while, it was Jaden Daniels. He was the leader to go second overall. You look around some of the markets in the sportsbook world, he was the guy. So you brought up that story the other day about how Washington had all those guys in-house at the same time. So maybe that's real. Maybe they are torn right now. Maybe not with all four, but it does seem like, according to Vegas, that between Drake May and Jaden Daniels right now, Washington's still working through some things.
So we're talking about pick number two.
Yep.
Well, let me tell you what the odds are for pick number three, and maybe that would help you. They don't have the odds for number two.
I bet 365.
Bet 365 right now. So they have Drake May at even money to be picked three.
Okay.
So they're making the assumption that Daniels is going two. You have to read into that. If they're offering you up Drake May at even mm-hmm. money, then, by the way, it also seems like a fairly decent bet. Here's the value play. The J.J. McCarthy play. He's 3.5 to 1 to go number three.
Okay.
I feel like I would... Here's the problem. It's not like drafting J.J. McCarthy at three is that much different than if the Vikings were coming up to get him at five or whatever. Like, how far can he drop? He doesn't seem like he's going to be there at 11 when the Vikings have their normal pick and Denver at 12. And so they're going to have to move up. Now, the Patriots, and you mentioned this the other day, the Giants. So the Giants are picking at six. And so it's just one of those things where I have to go with the odds. I have to play Drake May at three. They're not into losing money. However, anything can happen. We know the trades could throw this into a bind. But if you were betting just who would be picked number three, not who's making the pick, but who will be picked,
it feels like it's Drake May.
Yeah, it does.
It feels like it's Drake May. I would roll with May at two. If I'm Washington, I have no issue with mm-hmm. Daniels. He was an absolute monster last year. Obviously, the dude won the Heisman, but that's the guy that I would go with. In Washington, they just have some interesting things going on here because you got a new head coach. You brought in Cliff Kingsbury as your offensive coordinator, who did some great things with Kyler Murray in year one mm-hmm. when he came into the league and won Offensive Rookie of the Year and, you know, ran for 544 and threw for 3,700 yards. So that type of guy that he's worked with in the past and that type of skill set that he had success with, is that Jaden Daniels? Yeah. Is that Drake May? I don't know if their skill sets are that, you know, drastically apart between the two. I know Daniels put up monster numbers.
He's just bigger and sturdier than Daniels.
Yeah, May is, right? And so that's the bet that I would go with. But you got Dan Quinn, who's a defensive-minded head coach, and he knows about those challenges of going up against the mobile quarterbacks after having to draw up game plans for Jalen Hurts two times a year down there in the NFC East. So, man, for sure Washington's staying there at two, but Vegas is telling us right now that some of the decision makers up there, maybe it's the scouts, the GMs, mm-hmm. the owners, who knows? There's a different opinions right now between Drake May and Jaden Daniels.
You nailed it. There's a reason that they're not offering Washington right now, because that pick's not being traded. Yeah. And the pick's not being traded, or can't be traded, most likely, 99.9%, then they'd be exposed too much. Mm-hmm. There's only two guys in my mind that would go. They're not going to expose themselves like that. You start bringing the Patriots into the mix at three, then Vegas can spread it out a little bit. Then they feel like, okay, there's no lock at three. And so I'd like your take on Cliff Kingsbury. I think everything I've heard is, this is all rumor, right, that he's targeting Daniels as the best quarterback in the draft. And We saw what Daniels started his career at ASU. Antonio Pierce, by the way, the assistant coach. And so then he goes, 2 years at LSU with Brian Kelly? And the rest is history. So I agree with you. It feels like Daniels now at 2. And I would, if I'm betting, I would take the even money with Drake May at 3. I don't think the Vikes have to come all the way up there to get J.J. McCarthy if that's who they want. It feels like that's who they want. And now May struggled, bad offensive line. They lost 4 of their final 6 games. I don't know how much of a concern that is. You're drafting the player, not the team. But, you know, then it brings into the equation, where are the trades coming from? Are the Chargers going to stay there at 5? Are the Giants going to make the pick at 6? Does Denver have anything to be able to come up over the Vikings? I don't think they do. And I don't think the Vikings can play that game either. If they're going to go up, go up. Go get them then. Mm-hmm. I don't. You know, you want to play that game of going up to 6 or going up to 5 and then get leapfrogged? Can't do that. Ooh, now, I guess you could live with it, right? And you'd spin it.
Unless they take your guy.
Yeah, but you'd spin it with the media that, you know, all these teams will spin it. Now, our board was set. This was the way it fell. And they're never going to admit that, you know, that's what we wanted and we got screwed.
Yeah, I just think with the assets Minnesota acquired, getting that extra first-round pick, like I know I mentioned yesterday, I would maybe hang around and maybe try to land Penix. It feels like they've got that ammunition to move.
But are they calling the Patriots or the Cardinals or the Chargers?
I think you call the Pats. And especially with the Josh McCown tie to Drake May and him coaching him in high school, like all of that's kind of leading me towards they want to go get May and they want to get up into that 3-hole. But that you got to be able to have a team do business with you. And maybe New England is like, no, we're not moving. We like Drake May.
If you get into the 3-hole, then the McCarthy at 3.5 to 1 is probably where you want to have your money. Yeah. Not on Drake May then.
Oh, I would not take McCarthy over May. Me personally, I would not do that.
You know who the favorite is at pick 5?
Who?
Malik Nabers. To the Chargers.
Going to the Chargers.
Yeah. He's the favorite.
That's what I would do, but we just heard from Schofield, and he thinks that maybe Harbaugh wants to build it a different way. I just think you need some type of juice at wide receiver. Something.
There's got to be a way to cash on this. We have to find out where the Vikes are going and who they're taking.
Well, here's the thing.
That's where the value
is. We're all Jon Snow right now. We know nothing. It's all a guessing game, and that's what's fun about this. I love it because there's 3 teams, 11, 12, 13, that can make moves. Pats might stay. Pats might move out. Like, wide receivers, they going 4 and 5. Are they moving out to get a team in there that's quarterback needy? It's going to be fun next Thursday. It really is.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back with Pressure Cooker next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
1, 2, 3. Here in the Fan, it's always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2 for 2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rothman and Ice present Under Pressure.
Sponsored by United Dairy Farmers.
All right, who's going in the cooker, my friend? You want me to lead off?
Yeah, man.
All right. I'm going to go with the Miami Heat Ets. Did you guys see that they've already planned their flight to Boston?
Have they really?
This may be... I mean, I'm not saying you don't want to think ahead, but this could be a lot of fun. No Jimmy Butler playing the Bulls tonight for the right to face the almighty Boston Celtics in the first round. That series would start Sunday. Heat finished a regular season with the 20, not even a top 20 ranked offense.
It's nasty.
And the second worst of any team that's still playing, ahead of only Cavs opponent, Orlando Magic. Who else is out? Rozier's out, right?
He didn't play in the last game. I don't know what his status is for tonight. I don't know.
Duncan Robinson was technically available, I guess, to play the other night against the Sixers. He's got a back problem. And now they're in a situation with no Butler. And the Bulls playing on a little bit of house money, it feels like. And it's an amazing deal. The Heat have reportedly scheduled their flight to Boston on Saturday despite playing in a winner-go-home game tonight. Ooh. According to the FAA report from Andy Slater, the Bulls, they've scheduled their flight back to Chicago. They're not trying to tic-tac-toe it across.
Yeah, good.
So the winner of the Bulls versus Heat tonight will play the Celtics in the first round. And Miami's playing without Jimmy Butler and maybe Terry. So the Heat, we'll see.
Mm.
But they are acting as if they are flying to Boston without having won yet.
Can't wait to see
it. I would say self-induced pressure cooker.
Gave him some bulletin board material, no doubt about it. First candidate for me, I'm starting in the NBA too. And I'm starting with a former Buckeye. And I'm going with D'Lo. D'Angelo Russell, the pressure is now on, and here's why. Been having a very solid second half of the year. In April, he's at 18 a night, 6 assists, 39% from 3, 100% from the free throw line. This season, he even set the all-time single-season record for three-pointers made in L.A. Lakers history. But here's why the pressure is on. Because they're playing the Denver Nuggets, and our guy D'Lo last year was awful against the Nuggets. This is what he averaged against Nikola Jokic and company. 6 points, 3 assists, 32% from 3, 13% from the free throw line. D'Lo, it's time to rock and roll. Don't worry about it. Just go out, be free, ball out. Talk trash like you were doing to the New Orleans Pelicans when you iced the game the other day. But he's got to bring a high level of play if the Lakers are going to have a chance of taking down the defending champ. So I'm going with D'Angelo Russell, putting him on the pressure list first.
Yeah. And you tell him to free ball, which I think is probably the right advice.
I think that's the term I use.
I heard free and then ball.
You can pass that along to him if you would like.
How about this? The Houston Astros are 6-14 out of the gate. Well, in case of emergency, break glass. They're activating 41-year-old Justin Brooks Verlander. Now, he made a rehab start with AA Corpus Christi, threw about 80 pitches. He allowed 5 earned runs over 4 innings. Maddie, they want him on that mound. They need him on that mound.
Yeah.
The team's rotation has the 5th highest ERA in MLB right now. Even despite our boy Blanco throwing the no-no in his first start of the year.
Right.
That counts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is going to be amazing. Verlander, he's a swing-and-miss guy. He's had some nasty stuff in the past. How much does he have left? I'm going to put some pressure on him. He's pitching for a 6-win team right now.
Okay.
He's 41. It feels like he has to have a quality start here.
Second candidate for me is a team I'm mad at. And it's my Cincinnati Reds.
Oh.
I'm mad at my Cincinnati Reds right now because we went out to Seattle and they brought out the brooms on us. They brought out the brooms, but more specifically, our offense was nowhere to be found. It is officially print the shirts season.
I don't know
who that guy is.
Wow.
I don't know where you guys made that from.
Unreal.
CB must have made that on some type of AI-generated website. That's what happened there. But AR, we went out to Seattle, and game one, we put up 3 runs. In game two, we put up 1 run. And then you said, you know what we did? We said we're going to double down. In game three, we're going to put up 1 run as well. It's time to get our acts together. We're coming home. We're taking on the Los Angeles Angels, which I'm sure Mike Trout will probably hit 4 home runs in the series this weekend. But we can't worry about that. We have to help our pitching staff out. So Ellie, Spencer Steer, CES, everybody, my boy Willie B, it's time to tighten up. I'm putting my Reds offense on the pressure list this weekend.
All right, finally for me, Edmonton Oilers, it's time to do it, man. You've got the best player in the NHL. You got Draisaitl. You got the others. It's a roster that should at least make the conference finals. You got 5 guys with 20 goals or more, top 3 in goals per game, top 4 in power play percentage, top 10 in goals against. Stuart Skinner has had a great year, but they let him get lit up last night by the Avs without his full roster in front of him. They got swept 2 years ago in the conference finals. They need a cup appearance. Really, I should say they need to win the last game of the year, but I want to put it all on them. They extended their North American major pro sports rut of going without a division title for the 36th straight season. Will the real Edmonton Oilers please stand up? This is your time. You've got what it takes to win it all, and we get to find out what you are made of when the playoffs begin, and they will take on the Kings.
A little Slim Shady reference in there. I see what you did, big dog. Eminem's just kind of out of sight, out of mind, kicking it. It's kind of career I would have. Make a whole bunch of money, you know, out of sight, out of mind. You'll see me when you see me.
We call that the Craig Kilborn in the broadcasting industry.
He was doing some stuff for the Lions playoff run last year, which was pretty cool. Last candidate for me. I'm going with Mike Dunleavy Jr. Mike Dunleavy Jr., for those who don't know, is the current general manager of the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors just got bounced by the Sacramento Kings. And now Mike Dunleavy Jr. has some very difficult decisions to make. Because the big three that brought in all those championships and brought glory to that fan base year after year after year, it may be over. So you may have to remix this thing. You may have to sit down with Klay Thompson, look him in the eye and say, Klay, I know how much this fan base loves you and know how much you meant to this team, but we got to move on. What do you do with Draymond Green? Does Mike Dunleavy Jr. break up the core three of the Golden State Warriors? Tough decisions to make because Steph can still play at a high level, but maybe you want to go down another path. So Mike Dunleavy Jr., general manager for the Golden State Warriors, he's on the pressure list.
I like it. All right, that's the cooker for this weekend. We come back with our friend Sam Amico, Cavs Magic. Are they in trouble against the rising stars of the Big O? We'll ask him next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio's sports destiny.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Their cholesterol numbers put all other fan hosts to shame. You are listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, Cavs will get it going against Orlando. Feels a little bit of a toss-up. We'll get the insight from our senior NBA writer, HoopsWire.com. He is our guy, Sam Amico. Sam, welcome back.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Outstanding. We want to see the Cavs bounce back from last year and the bully ball they faced with the Knicks. Now they're back. It's been a real roller coaster ride. I think we're really high on them early. It's hard to go all in on them now. But then again, you know, you're matching them up against Orlando, so we'll deal with it from that standpoint. How concerned should Cavs fans be about this series?
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say not really at all. And I'll tell you why. I mean, yes, they've been uneven. The Cavs have since the All-Star break. You know, they won 17-18 to kick off 2024. And then they, you know, kind of rolling into the All-Star break, came out and were, it's been kind of clunky since then. But I think that they have a clear advantage here just in the fact that, guys, if you look at the NBA playoffs, there's generally not a lot of young teams, first-time teams, that get out of the first round. Now, it can happen, but it's rare. And, you know, Orlando's a lot like the Cavs were last year. The Cavs, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, Isaac Okoro, all playoff rookies. You know, Caris LeVert, Jared Allen barely had any playoff experience. Well, now they've experienced all this. And of course, along with Donovan Mitchell, they've had a year together now. And then you look at Orlando, their core, all of these players are playoff rookies. They're all talented, but they're just new to this element of the NBA. And I think that that makes the Cavs a clear favorite just based on history. And I think that if the Cavs get their act together, they're the better team at this point. So, you know, I think it would take a meltdown for the Cavs to not advance beyond this series.
So, Sam, let's say the Magic do pull it off somehow, some way. I want to ask you what you think that would mean for the futures of, let's say, J.B. Bickerstaff and maybe even Donovan Mitchell.
You know, let's start with J.B. I don't think that would bode well for him. They're expecting, you know, as the favorites in this series to get out of the first round, the front offices. And I just don't think we would see J.B. Bickerstaff coaching the Cavaliers again next season if that were to happen, because the front office would view that as, you know, a pretty catastrophic upset, even though it's the 4 and 5 seeds. I just think they're expecting to take that next logical step. Now, if they do, I think JB's going to be safe if they do get past the Magic, provided that they give somewhat of a showing in the second round, the Cavs. As for Donovan Mitchell, guys, I think he already knows what he's going to do, whether he's going to sign that contract extension that's going to be available to him at the end of this season over the summer. I think he's already, I don't think this series will influence him too much one way or the other again, unless there's some kind of catastrophic basketball meltdown. He will, you know, his decision is probably already made, would be my guess.
Everybody says, and everybody, I read everything with Boston and how good they are, and we know how good they are, and this is a chance for Tatum to really step up and lead this squad. They got Brown. I mean, is that pretty much a lock, them getting to the NBA Finals, or could they be tripped up even on their own side?
I think that they could be tripped up. And, you know, guys, what's interesting is they won the Eastern Conference, I believe, by 14 games, which was the first time anybody's won a conference by that much since 1976. So, I mean, they were really dominant during the regular season. That said, I don't think people are looking at them as the, you know, 2018 Warriors or 2016 Cavs, where they're just this dominant force that can't be beat. I think that they're going to catch maybe a little bit of a break here, unfortunately, for the Miami Heat with Jimmy Butler out. You know, they're playing the Bulls in the play-in game. If Miami should advance, that wouldn't be as big of a threat to the Celtics if the Heat don't have Butler. The Bulls wouldn't be as big of a threat. So I think that their road got a little bit easier. But if you think about them having to play the Miami Heat in the first round as a number one seed, that would be difficult for them. But I don't think Boston's a shoo-in. I think most people feel that way, too, that they're favorites, but it's no guarantee because the Eastern Conference is so tight.
Sam, the series I'm most excited about personally is this Dallas and the LA Clippers series out west. Hit us with your take on Kyrie, Luka going up against Kawhi, or maybe Kawhi, I guess, Paul George and company, and the former Cav head coach in Ty Lue.
Yeah, that should be going in on paper. That looks to be your best series, either that or Minnesota and Phoenix. But as far as the Clippers and Mavericks, it's hard to make a pick there because both of those teams really are among those with high expectations of a deep playoff run. And both have the talent and are capable to do that. So I think that you're right. That's must-see TV because you talk about two teams that are incredibly evenly matched. Really, you can't find a better, you know, series that exemplifies that than Dallas and the Clippers, and I couldn't tell you. I might give the Clippers a slight edge by a whisker because of home court, but you've got to win on the road in the playoffs to have a shot, whether you have home court advantage or not. So that's a real intriguing matchup. And Dallas, you know, making some underrated additions at the trade deadline for this very reason, getting Daniel Gafford and P.J. Washington, two big guys that are expected to kind of help them get to another level. So you're right. I think that series a complete toss-up and should be really good.
All right, let's cement your finals pick. I want to see how crazy you get, or are you going to go chalk here?
No, you know, on my website, I have not gone normal. And I just foresee maybe an upset in the Eastern Conference, which is interesting. But I'm going to go with the Denver Nuggets emerging from the West, which is no big surprise there. And I remember I came on last year, guys, and none of us picked Denver and Miami in the final. So I'm going to go a little different in the Eastern Conference, and I'm going to pick the Philadelphia 76ers to surprise their way into the NBA Finals and then lose to the Nuggets.
Sam, let me ask you this. How are you feeling about Embiid's health? Because, listen, when he's right, obviously he's incredible. How worried are you about that?
Yeah, that's always a concern. He's always getting, as a guy who's a physical player and gets banged around down low, even though he's got great size and great width, he takes a beating down there a lot of times. So that's always a concern. I mean, and he's had this knee issue and, you know, it's kind of like a lower when it comes to it's either knee or ankle, or it's always something getting him. But that's always a concern. But if he should stay healthy, I think they could get past the Knicks, and I think they could get past Milwaukee if they face Milwaukee and the Celtics if he stays healthy, because not just him, but they have a lot of playoff experience, and Tyrese Maxey has just had an outstanding season.
Yeah, he was tossed into the mix with Embiid down, and he came up huge. All right, we got you down. We got you cemented for Sixers Nuggets. I hope it happens for you, my man. It's almost 18-1 odds if you pick that exacta. So we'll write it down. Sam, great job, man. Always love your insight. Enjoy the playoffs.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for having me, and we will chat at you soon.
Absolutely. That's our friend Sam Amico. Been coming on the program for a long time. Does great work. He's the senior NBA writer for HoopsWire.com. He was on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline.
You could sign me up for Embiid and Jokic in the finals.
Yeah.
Like that would be a good time. And when Embiid and that unit were healthy, they were awesome, man. Their team was awesome when they were healthy all year long until he got hurt.
It's not a bad pick, because with Giannis, you just don't know.
Right.
And so I can't go all in on Milwaukee right now.
I'm
so
rolling with the Pacers in that series. Pacers are getting Milwaukee.
But you don't think the Pacers would go all the way?
No.
Yeah, okay.
So, I thought his sleeper might have been the Knicks, mm-hmm. but with Randall out, that's a big hit. So, yeah, if Embiid can be 85, 90% throughout this playoffs and stay on the floor, I don't think he's that far off.
I've had Boston future winning it all for a lot of months.
They're loaded, man.
And I'm hoping that cashes. That would be the king. All right, we'll come back with a Buckeye Bolt and Gene Smith. All in his last final move. You'll hear it next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
The only radio show Ryan Day listens to when we're holding him hostage, making him listen to a radio show. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Don't go through another air conditioner breakdown. For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day air installation.
All right, if you want to know how much Ohio State football means, you want to kind of quantify it, you take salaries, you take money, you take NIL, you do donations, you do all that stuff. And it's all there. Guys came back. We've talked about it. Did they come back only for NIL? Of course not. Did NIL, was that a tiebreaker for a lot of them? It could have been. The cherry on top of the sundae is the chance to be a part of a roster that can win it all and also get paid along the way. But, said it before, this is a great reminder of what Ohio State football means. And they're not just going to hold hands together and pray for it to bounce back. That wasn't it. That wasn't what they were going to do. They were going to go out and try to buy their way back. They already have they have the greatest product. But we know the tiebreaker now, and it's NIL, and guys have to weigh decisions. Now, does playing time come involved? Of course. But you're paying a coach almost $10 million a year, and they said, well, we're going to give you another couple million, whatever. Get a guy that can call the plays. That seems, if we were running a company and we paid a CEO $10 million to run our company, the Rothman and Ice company, and then we said, we're just not that successful. and we go to our owner of the company and we say, hey, we're going to need a couple million more. Well, wait a minute. What am I paying this guy for? Well, we just need more. And then, but in Ohio State's case, they're like, yes, do it.
Yeah.
Do
it. And I also think Coach Day may have wanted that as well.
No doubt.
With where he is in his career and really trying to find just different ways to now get over the hump. Like, he's done some very good things at Ohio State, but obviously the elephant in the room is what's gone on in late November the last 3 years in a row. So now he looked around and said, okay, what can I do to still be a good head coach, but maybe even become a better head coach if I can, you know, allocate my time to a little bit more on defense or special teams or whatever it's going to be. I have to imagine he was part of that decision as well.
It's like when you went in to Fish and said, you need an assistant to prep the show. You need your own handler, right? And he said, absolutely, whatever it takes.
I guess.
By the way, that's what it would be like if we went to him and said, hey, we need another person on our staff, on the Rothman and I staff, to just not be on the air and not produce, just maybe someone to sit with CB, just do the things, you know, let him focus on this. Like, that's what it is. And Ohio State has that luxury. And here we are. And Gene Smith knows it, and he wants it, and it's his last big move to be a part of the all-in move. And when he was at the Fawcett Center yesterday, this is what he had to say about all-in.
Where's Ross? He's gone already. I probably put a significant burden on Ross with the budget because I was playing poker with football, went all in. You know, with where we are with football and not winning Big Ten championships, you know, I wanted to make sure that we did everything we could to make sure football has a real chance next year. And so when I think about my legacy, so to speak, I think about that. I hate to leave Ohio State when football's not back to winning Big Ten championships. So that's, if that answers your question, I put a financial burden on Ross that he's got to balance the budget in the future because I just went berserk.
That's real. That is brutally honest.
Made a few moves, Ross.
Yeah, man.
I spent a little money of yours that you weren't entitled to just yet.
That's
make it work.
Brutally honest from Gene, and I like that he just kept it real with all of us and let us know. Obviously, he cares about the football program itself, but for him personally, he didn't want to go out with that, you know, kind of that 0-3 vibe attached to his name, even though we know Gene's been an awesome AD. So it's so real that you have to have your decision makers and these collectives and everybody on board to go down this path if you want to be amongst the elites. Because look at a team that was amongst the elites years ago, and that's Clemson. And now we've heard about Dabo and him being hesitant to play the game of NIL and transfer portal. And they haven't been dominating the way that we saw them dominating before the game really changed around college football. So it's absolutely something you better be on board with. Because if you're not, there's a good chance that you're going to get left behind.
Our guy Barstool Tate had tweeted out that he had blogged that Ohio State spent about $34 million heading into this season.
Who reported this?
The Ohio's Tate, right, from Barstool?
I'm guessing he added up the proposed numbers for NIL plus the coaching hires.
Okay. $34 million? Big dollars, big boy money.
That should probably result in a title.
Man,
that's just not. Let's not win. That's not 12 and out. That's
crazy.
We got to get some more games. But he's right. Here is Gene on the NIL arms race.
Yeah, I mean, it's all the semantics, right? So for us, you know, we weren't in an arms race. We were trying to just be functional. And so you guys go into Woody Hayes, and you see how beautiful it is. We're putting lipstick on it right now, right? But when I came in 05, we didn't have a recruiting department. We didn't have a creative services department. We didn't have the sports science people that we have. We didn't have all the modalities in the training room that we had. So we need more square footage, right? So that's practical. That's not like an arms race because Alabama's got it. That's just practical reality. We didn't have quality control assistants. I mean, we're using closets now, right now, for probably 8 or 9 people. You guys are in that building, so you see it. So we need more square footage. And so we, yes, to your, answer your question, yes, we will stay in the facility, you know, renovation and expansion area. But for me, it was never an arms race.
You know why? Because they couldn't wrap their minds around that it would be when you're at Ohio State. Sure. I remember saying that at the very beginning. I've said it a million times. I'm sorry, I'll say it again. Ohio State never, ever believed they could lose to a checkbook. Like, that just didn't make sense. You got the facilities, the tradition, the platform, the everything about it, the legends that have come before, Nike. The conveyor belt to the NFL, Nike, the
all
shoe,
of it, yeah.
Everything. Like, come on. Guys want to play here because they've dreamt of playing here, and they want to be coached and trained so they can go to the next level. Wait a minute. You're telling me you're picking somewhere else because you're getting paid more? How could that be? That's what the grim reality, that was the reality check that this program had over the last few years. And and it's tough because you and I, it's a little nauseating at times based on, you and I both admitted it. It does get to a point where you're asking the fans to fork over grandma's Christmas cash to a player. And it's...
Oh,
we've
man.
Talked about it.
We take it from grandma now?
Dang. She just doesn't know about it.
That's even...
And, hey, that's what she would have wanted.
That's even worse. You know what's going to be interesting real quick? Is to see if we get this type of effort next offseason when it comes to NIL. The pressure of losing three in a row, all of
you mean
that...
after they
after
get
this year. After this year, regardless of what happens... Right. Do we still get that type of juice around the money they throw around?
Oh, or they get complacent again?
Not complacent, but maybe not to that level. Can't wait to see what it looks like.
The whole fan base is all in. It feels like Devin said burn the boats. It feels like that's for the entire city for this season. We'll come back, deeper dive after a SportsCenter update. We get into Andrew Berry and the draft strategy for the Brownies. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
My, the meatloaf!
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Maxima Concrete. Visit MaximaConcrete.com today to schedule your free estimate.
Get your freaking home.
Get your freak on.
It is a Freaky Friday. We got J-Lou. Speaking of Freaky Fridays, I have no clue where he is.
Yeah, where is he?
On some, some beach somewhere that doesn't require clothing, apparently. I don't know.
Wow.
Weird
Make sure
thing.
You ask him if that's exactly where he is. I would love to hear his response.
Remind me. We'll do it.
Maybe he's inside Area 51 doing the radio show. I don't know.
Area 51.
You know I'm obsessed with that place.
Yeah, you really are.
I'm obsessed with that place and what they have down there that we'll never know. Because if you get probably within 10 miles, probably hit you with a tranquilizer.
Maddie wants to know what's going on over there. Why don't you get some bolt cutters or some kind of chain link fence cutter and get in there and find out?
I said, I don't even think you can get within 10 miles of that place. Probably not.
I mean, Maddie, you love the tales of UFOs and government cover-ups. You're that guy. Just and you like the testing the alien technology or whatever they're doing over there.
I'm just curious. Like, is Bigfoot kicking it in there? Is E.T. kicking it in there? Like, what do we really have going on at Area 51? It's always been fascinating to me.
We were in Vegas. You could have made
the
trip.
That is true.
I mean, it's true. That was your chance on the company dime.
Could have hopped out, you know, and extended the Uber.
Some guys went to concerts. Other guys could have gone to Area 51.
Some say some people went to the ranch as well. You know, that's just word on the street.
Business doing pleasure with you.
Word on the street.
That's right.
I don't know.
I feel like it's a little more drama than it probably is.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's
I don't know. I really don't. We've seen stuff in movies and weird stuff, and I really don't know what's, like you say, what's going on in there, but, you know.
Give me a tour.
Join the CIA and see if you can get in there.
I don't think I'm built for the CIA. Well, the training for that probably has to be crazy.
Really?
I mean, I would think. Mentally, physically, probably what they put you through to get in the CIA.
I think the FBI, maybe. I don't know what. I don't know.
They're both probably rough.
Yeah, I'm not sure which one would be.
They're both probably rough. I don't think either.
Yeah. Call Jodie Foster. She'll tell you. by the way, that the story I said at the beginning about the, we got sidetracked here on the colors, are on the Area 51. So, again, I'm reading more. This Packers-Eagles game is taking place at Corinthians Arena, home of the Brazilian soccer team. And according to several reports, green is banned in the stadium because of the fierce rivalry. Players and fans, because you asked that earlier, players and fans are forbidden from wearing green. Yet they're hosting two teams that green is a fairly prominent color in their uni. I mean, did you not understand the assignment? Like, are you only going to pick teams that the NFL? What a mess. I mean, there are only three NFL teams that wear green. The third, of course, is the Jets. And the NFL managed but two of them in a green phobic stadium? Like, I'm blaming. I mean, it doesn't even matter. I'm not even blaming the NFL. This doesn't even make any sense. Why this is it? Fans have spotted signs up in the arena which state the color is expressly forbidden.
All right, good for them.
For soccer.
This is exactly. This is football, okay?
Football. Yeah, I agree with you. I'm that's why I think this is a complete
non-story. And if I'm the Eagles and the Packers, I'm not folding and wearing an alternate either.
Philly, get your black alternates.
No, we're not doing none of that. No, we're wearing what we usually wear.
By the way, if they wear the alternate blacks, you still get that green helmet.
There's nothing they can do about this. The checks have already been cashed. The stadium has already been scouted.
Let me tell you something. If the Eagles wear black and Green Bay wears white, I can't believe the NFL would ever take a knee on this. But another would be just go ahead and wear green despite the stadium protocol. You think?
You probably won't even watch the game anyway. Oh, you hate the early kicks. Is this an early kick? I don't know.
This is a Friday nighter.
Oh, prime time.
I got no problems. Right? It's great. Plus, who knows? I may even have a fantasy interest in it. You never know.
Yeah, that'll hook you. A nice little parlay cooked up, too.
Maybe I do a little weight on quarterback this year, although it's so reachy in our league. There's a lot of QB reaching around, doing all sorts of stuff. And if I got to wait on a quarterback this year, maybe Jordan Love would be the guy, but who knows?
You still have your Peacock subscription, right?
I still have it.
He never got it.
I don't know if I...
Oh, you never got it. Well, you need that to watch the Friday game.
He probably been texting one of his boys. Hey, shoot me that password.
I was on Gamecast watching Ohio State basketball for some games.
Gamecast?
Hey, look, he made a jumper. No, I'm just reading the game.
I'm like, what channel is that? Never heard of that. I know where you're at, though. Yeah, you better get that Peacock fired up because you got the Big Ten football.
Yeah,
love that Big Ten football song, by the way, that they had going
on. I do like that. I think a lot of people like, I'm going to live forever. I like that song. And they'll add those teams. It's a great little cartoon.
You hate the Amazon one. You don't like the Amazon Thursday night.
It's not that I hate it.
It's just not good.
There's a difference between hating it and just admitting it sucks compared to the others.
See, I don't think it sucks. I think it's pretty good. I'm not mad at it. It's different. That's why I like it.
You know which theme I love the best, which isn't associated with a game? It's that theme that they play after the Super Bowl and at the Hall of Fame, where whoever, like Elway or somebody's walking in the Lombardi. Yeah. That theme gives me a little chill. I like that one.
Yeah.
That one has a good. But as far as NFL football themes, that is garbage. Or in French terms, garbage.
See, I'm on the other side, man. It's not as good as the NFL Network, like that one is strong.
Strong. Now you're talking to me, baby. That I like.
I can rock with that. Yeah. I can rock with that.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, this is like a crowning moment.
Yes.
It's like
they've done a great job.
Something
with this.
Important is happening.
Yeah. It's just a good pull, CB. It kind of hits you right in the feels.
Yeah, man.
It's a really good one. Good pull on that, CB. I mean, I don't want to listen to that all the time because I want it to kind of be a once a year kind of thing.
Because it's pretty cool, too, because I think that plays when whoever brings the trophy to the stage,
they're walking down
and the players are there on each side and all that.
Human tunnel.
Didn't Kevin Hart do that and get in some mess a couple years ago in Philly? Like, I think Kevin Hart was a little lit that year. You guys remember
well,
that?
As long as you're not fumbling the Lombardi, you're all right.
Kevin Hart was doing the most when he was bringing the trophy down. If I don't even know if he brought the trophy down or if he was by the stage.
He's a little fella.
And he was a little saucy. You know, he was enjoying himself. You know, watched his team beat Tom Brady. I understand it. But Kevin Hart got into some, not sticky stuff, but, you know, there were some memes that came out of that moment.
Here's what's going to happen. That Amazon, like everything else, is going to grow on me at some point, and I'll lessen my harshness of it. But I don't think I'll ever really love it. That's like, cool, I love man. The others.
Hey, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, man. I get it.
But if we are ranking them, I mean, empirically, we believe the other ones are much better. Like, I don't think it's that subjective.
I don't know about that.
You're moving Amazon to number one or two?
I didn't say number
on
one.
On the hit chart?
I don't know what I would. I don't think they would be that far down my rankings.
Right. Don't fret. We're not going to pin you down to it.
I'm not tripping. I'm good over here.
Right. Seem a little sensitive on it, but
I don't think I'm being sensitive.
That is defending Amazon Prime.
I don't think I'm being. I don't know if I'm the sensitive one when you called it trash, essentially.
Yeah. Well, I
said. Okay, then. So just saying,
I'm got a number one now.
Did I say it like that, CB? Or I just said I don't have it in my. I don't think they're.
Just have
down.
A little fun. Just have a little fun.
Well, you got a little rah-rah, big dog. Not me. Not me.
I don't even know what that means, but I'll live with it.
Oh,
all right, so we've got Andrew Berry talking about the Browns here. And it's interesting because they really don't have a great strategy. They don't have a first-round pick. I don't even know what their strategy is. Do you? A defensive guy?
I mean, here's where I'm at. I think when you look at where they are defensively, they brought in a couple new linebackers, right? In the middle of that unit there, they brought in some depth, a little bit of depth on the D-line, as you were alluding to, bringing in, you know, Quentin Jefferson as a defensive tackle. Second round, if you can get another pass rusher, I think to develop behind Za'Darius and Myles Garrett, or if they want to go back to the interior to, you did lose Jordan Elliott, but maybe the Jefferson signing is exactly where they're at with that. Maybe they feel good about it, but somewhere on that D line, I'm in. Because if they can create more pressure within the defensive line, right, to take a little bit of attention off of Myles Garrett, then that's obviously going to free him up for one-on-ones. And that pass rush up the middle is very valuable. So maybe with that second round pick, they want to go get themselves a defensive lineman. I could see that. I like it.
I think that that's very possible. I think it's probable. And I also think that will depend on who's there, and it also maybe he could trade out of it. He could pick up another pick later. Now, I know it's not very common when your first pick is 54 to say, well, let's not pick there either. Like that, I don't know if the fans would love that because they want to get a pick, but he could, depending on who's there. But I'm with you. I think defensive line, I think they're going to try to go trenches. I think they'll try to pick up some kind of a, I know they got Judy, but I think that's a one year hit, and whether it hits or not, I don't know. But they might go receiver down the way, future wise. But yeah, I definitely see somewhat of a lineman at in that area. Would you see them trading out of that?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
54.
Going back to wide receiver, I mean, you do have Amari on the last year of his deal. Yep. So to your point. And maybe they get a deal done, you know, within the season. Who knows? But yeah, getting more guys there. Cedric Tillman. I mean, I know there's some people that like him, but you know, he's a young guy that didn't do much last year. So in a passing league, yeah, you get more weapons around Deshaun that you spend a bunch of money on. And if you hit on a young receiver, you're going to have a guy that's fairly cheap with a guy that obviously is very expensive at the most important position.
Here he is on talking about not having a first round pick.
Not at all. Not at all. I understand that from an external perspective because those are usually the most well-recognized prospects, you know, coming into the draft. But, you know, we're excited about maximizing the group of players that we can acquire during the weekend. And, you know, there's still a number of good players up and down the draft board.
Yeah, that's simple, right? How else are you going to ask him that? Hey, we don't have it. Now, you could ask him, do you want to try to move up? And what's he going to say? Like every GM says, yeah, everything's possible. Anything's on the table. We'll see how the board falls. Like, I don't see any other. That's the problem with doing all this prep draft stuff with these guys that don't have a first-round pick. Would you love to be in the first round? Of course we would. We're not. Will you do anything to get there? We'll see. Like, that's really what it is.
Yeah, Andrew doesn't give much of anything usually when he speaks anyway. So they're in a good position. They have a good roster right now. They obviously got hit last year with some injuries that hurt them, especially on that offensive line. And then the big one was the quarterback position going down. But they're not far off, right? And if you can really find some gems that can give you some right now talent this year, then that Browns team should be in the mix.
Here is quickly on Chubb's rehab.
You know, with Nick in his rehab, I think you guys have heard me say he's really attacked it very aggressively, you know, really since he's been able to in the fall. He's going at a good pace. It's still early. You know, he actually started, you know, running on land, you know, this past week. That's not to say that, you know, he's through the woods or anything, but he's doing everything in his power. You know, he's progressing appropriately, but certainly the next next few weeks, next few months will be big as we continue to increase the load that he's able to put on his knee, and then how much he's ultimately able to do during his training.
It's a good update. It means nothing until he's hit and pops up. Honestly, I mean, I feel like, you know, rehabbing a torn ACL and an MCL, you take it as it goes. Like you say, you progress the way you have to. But he's a football player, and eventually, Matty, he's going to have to get hit and pop up.
No doubt, man.
All right, we'll come back with pre-snap reads. Josh Allen, will they have to deliver him a number one weapon? Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rockman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by the Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
All right, Maddie, Bet365.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. See for yourself. Excuse me. When you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5.
All right, I think there's going to be a lot on the Heat tonight, and I think Tyler Hero is going to be a play. It's tough to gamble on him, but with the guys they've lost, he's got an over under a 37.5 points, rebounds, assists. I don't see him getting over that. He hasn't been a good against the Bulls, and without Butler this season, not good. I think it's just too much to put on him. I'm going to go under 37.5 points, rebounds, assists.
I'm going with the other game. I'm looking at the Kings and the Pelicans, and give me Keegan Murray, or as they say when he hits a three out there, Keegan Murray, at +120 to get to 20 points tonight. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Bet365, the official sports betting partner of the Cleveland Guardians. Download the Bet365 app today. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And may the odds be ever in your favor.
Josh Allen, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, lost his number one weapon, Stephon Diggs. And maybe he's okay with it. We'll find out. Their relationship has been very rocky. And we know, we've seen it. It could be put in the category of, hey, it's just sports emotion. They both want to win. They get frustrated. Things happen. And then it gets left on the field. But here's Allen on losing Diggs.
It's definitely hard to part ways with a guy that's been very instrumental in our success here over the last 4 years. And again, I can't thank him enough for when he came in and how hard he worked and what he taught me along the years. And obviously, I wish we can keep everybody. You know, we've made a lot of changes this offseason, lost a lot of veteran leadership, Steph being one of them. I guess that's the nature of the business. And going into year 7 now, it's just kind of is what it is. You know, I don't get paid to make changes on the team. I get paid to be the best quarterback that I can be and try to lead the guys on this team.
Have you spoke with Steph since the move was made?
Yeah, I shared a text with him and got one back and just thanking him for everything that he did for me, and always have a spot in my heart for him, and I'll always love that guy like a brother, and you know, wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah, it's pretty generic stuff there. I don't know what other follow-ups were there. It feels like that their relationship is probably headed this way. They did win four straight AFC East together, so they will always be linked as a really highly successful duo if they didn't cash in together. So it's, I don't know. I know it's being written, Matty, as that he opened up about his former teammate. I don't know how much opening up I heard there.
Yeah, and they got a lot of work to do, right? They got a lot of work to do. And Josh mentioned it because it's not just the Diggs thing. I know that's the headliner, but on defense, you lost some guys that played a lot of snaps for you over the years. And we know McDermott's a defensive head coach, or he's going to want to get some studs on that side of the ball. But, you know, a big talking point going into this draft is, you know, obviously they're probably going to get a receiver at some point, but I'm curious whether they get maybe a couple of those guys, right? Because if you get one or two that can really find a way to get on the field and contribute in year number one with the talent that is Josh Allen, he can elevate those guys, and maybe that'll have you right back in the mix. I mean, look at like a team like Green Bay last year. Had a bunch of young guys, and you had a quarterback in Jordan Love who really took off, and that elevated everybody's floor and the team as a whole. So they brought in the former Buckeye and Curtis Samuel. I think he'll find a way to do some good things for them on the field. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they come away from this draft, especially in the first round, but maybe second, third round, even after that, to find themselves another wide receiver that they can develop.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, they're picking 28, and will there be a really good receiver there? Probably. But man, I'm sensing they're going to want to go up. Now, that would be only if they wanted Brian Thomas Jr. over Mitchell. Like, if they wanted to pick a different receiver. If they want to wait, they're going to get a guy at 28 they'll be happy with, and maybe the board will fall for them. The other thing is, I saw DJ Chark was visiting the Chargers today. So, as we mentioned earlier, Keenan Allen gone, Mike Williams gone. Chargers have a lot of holes to fill for Herbert, and Chark is not old. He's 27. Didn't catch a ton of passes with Carolina, but we know where their passing game was last year. So, that would be interesting if Harbaugh and the Chargers, who also have pick number 5, decide to grab themselves a free agent wide receiver and make trading out of 5 maybe a little easier.
Yeah, maybe so. And they need some pop there. They really do. And DJ Chark's had his moments throughout the league. And, you know, you mentioned Brian Thomas with Buffalo. They did lose Gabe Davis as well, right? And Brian Thomas had a bunch of touchdowns this year. I believe he led the nation in receiving touchdowns opposite Malik Nabers. So I think that'd be a pretty decent fit, right? Big play guy with Josh Allen's big arm. I could see that being, you know, a move there, because you got Dalton Kincaid in place, and that's obviously going to help out your passing attack, because they hit on that last year with their first round pick, picking at 23. So towards the bottom of the draft, they found a gem there a year ago, and maybe they could do it again this year.
JJ McCarthy's kind of the it guy outside of the top three. We'll find out if that is true. Could he be solid? Absolutely. His record speaks for itself, 27-1 as a starter. 44 touchdowns, 9 picks the past couple of years. Can run. Showed some leadership last year in leading them to a title. Kuiper talks about him.
If on next Thursday night, Roger Goodell, whoever is picking there, says with the 3rd pick in the NFL draft, a team selects J.J. McCarthy, meaning ahead of Drake May and everybody else, what will you say?
I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, J.J. McCarthy, it's not discrediting Lou J.J. McCarthy, saying, you know, you would question going that high. I would could expect it. Doesn't mean I would agree with it. I have him at 15 on the big board. I was on NFL Network with Daniel Jeremiah. DJ has J.J. McCarthy at 20. Not discrediting him. Like him, maybe don't love him, right? And when you rank players, it protects you from overdrafting. And I don't believe you should move quarterbacks up just because they're quarterbacks. You got to really believe in that rating, and that protects you from doing what a lot of teams have done, taking quarterbacks that shouldn't have gone that high, way too high. So for JJ, hey, he earned it. I say, hey, you put Drake May at Michigan, would the results been any different? Michigan had a great football team. JJ did a heck of a job, but he's benefiting from being 27-1. I agree, he made some great throws when he had to. He beat the Washington with his legs when he had to. Bottom line is, top 5's too rich for me. If it happens, and I'm expecting it to happen because it's mocked that way, but you got to differentiate mocks from ratings. And for me, JJ's the 15th best player. I wouldn't take him at 5.
He's right and wrong. He's right in everything he said about what JJ is. I think he's wrong in that this is the NFL and quarterback's the most important position. And you will reach for one. And sometimes you hit and sometimes you don't. But sometimes the gamble you take pays off. If you want to play it ultra conservative and you just keep him on the big board at 15 and say, hey, we're picking 11, he's not that. No, you're willing to reach 3 or 4 spots. Maybe what he's trying to say is that I wouldn't go all the way up and get him. And I think that's what you and I have been saying. Like, if you, because before we started mocking everything, the Vikes were at 11. That sounded even high originally.
Yeah. Excuse me. And now you've got a guy, JJ McCarthy, who, you know, just the sample size isn't very big. Like, especially when it comes to pass attempts. And that's not to say the dude can't turn into something in the NFL. He's a good passer. But he was, you know, in the 50s as far as pass attempts goes in the country last year around college football. So we know Harbaugh, he had his style. They wanted to beat you up with that run game. But for him, the athleticism's there. And I think you're just talking yourself into the skill set. And if we do put more on his plate, maybe he will be able to handle that in time.
All right, those are your pre-snap reads for today. J-Lew on the beach, but still with a cell phone. We'll throw some chin music next. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one, yes. The answer is yes. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
At your own risk. It's time for some chin music with former big leaguer and president of the Bald is Beautiful fan club, Jensen Lewis.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Feeling the heat? Call the experts at Logan Services now for hot deals on Trane air conditioners.
Well, that theme hits perfectly now because you're tied for the best record in Major League Baseball. And here come the lowly A's again. We're going to stack up some more dubs. J-Lew is with us, Jensen Lewis, Bally's Live Guardians analyst. And somewhere, we believe, on a beach that doesn't require too much clothing. Is that correct?
Oh, boys, we are at the southernmost tip of the United States right now. Key West, the winds hit a little different down here. So hopefully the Guardians can continue their winning ways, and a lot of Ohioans down here, guys. It's been fun to run into some of the Midwesterners, but can't complain, man. Every day down here has been pretty solid so far.
Sloppy Joe's is the place, you know, and the Buckeye Cruise used to, you know, goes to Key West, and that's where we set up shop and did the show. That was like in the epicenter of town, and outstanding. So I hope you guys are having a blast down there. Are you just staying in Key West, or are you going somewhere else?
Yeah, we just went through a little bit of the Hemingway stuff today. Tried out some of the distillery here just a little bit ago, so we're getting the brain cells working in the right direction here and letting that sun take care of everything else.
All right, so let's talk to you about this squad here. I mean, first place, they feel pretty good about it. 3 of 4 from Boston, and as I said, here come the A's. You took 3 of 4 from to open the year. Should we be getting overly excited at this point?
Yeah, AR, and I know I've talked to you and Maddie about this for years, where you look at April as overreaction month, whether that's positive or negative. But again, when you also look in August and September, you kind of harken back to what did you do in April and May to set yourself up for a potential division run and a pennant run. And you got to take care of business against teams you should beat and give credit where it's due. You take 3 of 4 in Fenway and you do it multiple different ways. I think that kind of gives you a bit more confidence in that clubhouse very early that, you know, we don't have to do one specific thing really well to win. We can do a couple of things and really beat a lot of different teams with a lot of different makeups. So the fact that you're going to get, you know, Oakland out of the way here and have an opportunity to stack up those wins and more importantly, continue to put series wins back to back to back, I think that's been the most important and consistent thing this club has done so far.
So, J-Lew, you got the Reds coming home, licking their wounds after the Seattle pitching staff kind of put it on them. Is there any reason to be overly concerned about what just happened in those three games, or is that kind of credit to Seattle and what they can do out there on the mound?
Yeah, you know, honestly, Maddie, when you look at where Seattle is just from an offensive standpoint, I mean, they've certainly underperformed, and that pitching staff, if we saw it last year, was going to hold them in so many different games. I mean, they're too good and too talented on that pitching side not to be there. But I think for me, it really is one of those things from an execution standpoint for the Reds. And, you know, don't get too overly, concerned, if you will. you come home now, and unfortunately you get an Angels team that has figured it out a little bit offensively, and now can that pitching and that depth there be something that handles itself day in and day out? I'm not overly concerned, Matty, about the Reds. I think they're in a good spot here from where they can kind of get home and get right. Glad that they kind of get a little West Coast out of their system early in the season, and that way kind of fall into a groove here in the next couple of weeks.
I'll take back to the guards for a quick second. Last year, dead last in home runs. Right now, it looks like they're hitting, averaging about one a game. And I think last year is more like 75, you know, 0.75 per one game. So they're middle of the pack in home runs. Is this where they should be this year, or are they overachieving right now?
Yeah, AR, it kind of felt like last year you could go maybe an entire series without seeing a ball leave the park from the Guardians offense. And, you know, the way they're constructed right now, getting some unlikely contributions, you know, maybe from a Gabe Arias, a Will Brennan, and still kind of waiting for Bo Naylor to really break out a bit here. But I'm with you. I think the improved slug percentage is the thing I'll circle right now. It may not necessarily be just home runs in general, but the amount of extra base hits, I think, is the most encouraging sign. And it's not just coming from, you know, a Jose or a Josh Naylor. Remember, Andrés Giménez really isn't going right now, and that reinforcement will be massive for this lineup. But I think the thing you take is that they've had a lot of opportunities with runners in scoring position, and they've been driving the ball with authority. So just because it doesn't go over the fence on a consistent basis, I think I'm more circled on, wow, I mean, a lot of extra base hits and a lot of different guys doing it.
Taylor, what's going on with the Dodgers right now? 4-6 in their last 10. We know the star power up top between Freddie, Mookie, and Shohei is as good as it gets. But just talk about their team and maybe why they're not rolling right now.
Yeah, I would say, like, back into the bullpen, too, you know, outside of Evan Phillips, they've been dealing with injuries there, and early on with Bruce Dark Gratterall and a couple other guys that they have really relied upon to kind of bridge the gap from starter to that ninth inning. That's something that has really not been a strength for them thus far. I would also look at the bottom of their lineup, too, a little bit of a lack of production from that angle. It's almost like, you know, guys have breathed a sigh of relief once they get past, you know, Will Smith and a Max Muncy up top there and you know, dealing with Mookie and Shohei and Freddie Freeman. Again, this one feels like the sleeping giant, right? You don't want them to wake up and then all of a sudden be like, okay, we're just going to flip the switch and we're going to kick it into gear, because it feels like that's a team that could run off like 8, 9, 10 straight series victories and never look back. So if I'm San Diego, if I'm Arizona, San Francisco, you're trying to pile up as many wins as you can right now. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when they get on track, and when they do, they're going to be really, really scary with all the rotation reinforcements they're going to get with guys coming back off the IL.
All right, with our boy Jensen Lewis tossing some chin music. Listen, you were great. You also gave us some hits you probably didn't want to give up, or threw some pitches in places you didn't want to throw them. Aroldis Chapman suspended 2 games. He was fined. They're putting it in the inappropriate actions category. evidently did something they didn't like. Was it worth the 2 games?
I tell you, the frustration, I saw it happen live, you know, and watching kind of where he was into that outing, I think there was some frustration built up. Probably said the magic words in that category that you can't do. And I think for him, because of how critical he's been to that bullpen, if I'm Derek Shelton, man, I'm feeling a little more stressed for those couple of days, because David Bednar hasn't been automatic the way that we saw him last year. So, yeah, I think for where we are in this point of the season, like, that's not going to go away. So if I'm Aroldis Chapman, you know, coming back from this suspension, you're going to have to be a bit more mindful of the emotional part of that. I get the frustration, but, man, he's such a critical piece to that bullpen and the Pirates' success.
Going down to Hotlanta, they found out Spencer Strider won't be available for them, but J-Lew, it just seems like they're continuing to roll. Do you think they're going to have the pitching to get them deep into the postseason, or is a move going to have to be made at some point in time?
Yeah, Matty, I think the latter right there, too, where Alex Anthopoulos is so good about really monitoring options outside the organization, whether that is going to come via trade at the deadline or before that. He's kind of been a master at if they need to go get somebody that it's not the traditional sense of having to wait all the way to the 11th hour. That may be something, knowing what this offense will look like and dealing even with Ozzie Albies on the IL right now. I think if they're going to get past a Dodger team, and let's assume that you know, LA gets those rotation arms back and is healthy and as deep as what we can possibly anticipate, I fully expect that that trade market could be active. The silver lining here, guys, is this. How many healthy arms are we going to find at that point? I mean, the amount of injuries that have happened thus far and have derailed specific rotations, especially at the front ends of them, you just wonder what teams are going to have available and which guys are going to be healthy at that point.
All right, my man. Sounds like you're going to have a blast down there. And I don't know, you got any highlights planned? Anything other than, I mean, I know you said you went to the little Ernest Hemingway Museum or whatever, but I know there got to be some highlights ready for you here.
Yeah, we'll mix it up here this afternoon, and we'll see what happens here in the wee hours coming up. But looking forward to it. Some good eats, some good treats, all here in a day's work, and we'll see what this weekend brings as well.
All right, my man. Enjoy. Always good to have you. Have a good weekend.
Will do. Talk soon, guys.
Thanks. Jensen Lewis with us, throwing some chin music on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We tell the truth next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
If your idea of the perfect radio show is all Buckeyes all the time, then it's your lucky day, Slappy. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2-for-2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Twin Peaks, home of the 29 degree draft beer.
All right, CB, take us home.
All right, today's national day of today is National Garlic Day. A lot of different ways to consume garlic. One of my favorite is in appetizer form with the garlic knots, garlic bread, you name it. Where do these garlic where do these garlic appetizers rank for you in terms of, you know, your sides?
For me, CB, it's not really an appetizer. I'm always a little worried when it comes to getting garlic knots with pizza, because then I just get too full eating the combination of both. But you pair garlic bread with a nice lasagna or spaghetti, and you dip some of that bread in that sauce. That's always a good play for me. So I'm not really a big garlic knots for the apps. But yeah, give me a little, couple slices of that garlic bread with my lasagna or spaghetti. That works for your boy.
Yeah, I mean, this is... That Texas toast or garlic bread, anything you can crisp up like that is about as good as it gets. Better than any other bread you could probably have. So he's right on it with the pasta. That's where you get it. Or all by itself, I imagine.
Just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
All right, the Daily Fan Poll is sponsored by ER Auto Care, Masters of Our Craft. The question is, which team would you pick to win the finals heading into the NBA playoffs? Is it the Nuggets, the Celtics, the Thunder, or other?
Well, I bet on the Celts, so I'm going to pull for them. I feel like this is navigating that side of the bracket is a little better for me right now. I know they're upsets await, but Giannis's injury, I think, helps the Celtics, and I know we got a couple of underdogs we talked about in the East that could make a run here, but I feel fairly safe that Boston will get to the finals. After that, who knows, but I'm going to take Boston all the way.
Of the options you gave me, what makes me feel most comfortable is probably rolling with Denver. Like, I love Boston. They can get into a couple games where those threes aren't falling, and that's how you close the gap on them, just because they put up so many attempts. But they just got so many elite weapons. That they'll find a way to push through, I believe, and come out of the East. I'll give you a little sleeper, though, that I like, CB, and that is Dallas. I really like where Luka and Kyrie and that team are at. So I wouldn't be surprised if they pop up in the Western Conference Finals, and then once you get that far, who knows when you got those two superstars.
I thought my job was to tell the public the truth, the facts. Pretty or not.
All right, it's official. College football will have a two-minute warning in both halves starting this upcoming season, proving that they are slowly turning this into an NFL format day by day. My question to you is, Do you like this or do you hate this?
I actually do like this. I really do like this. I love it in the NFL. You just laid it out, CB. Everything is starting to mirror what we see in the league, right? With guys getting paid, the expanded playoff, more games, all of that. Why not get these guys a little bit of taste of what it's going to be like at the next level? So, yeah, I'm all in on the two-minute drill at the collegiate level.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not in or out on it. I feel it's probably appropriate. It doesn't, I mean, it won't be an additional TV timeout, I heard. So I think that's why I would lean. That'd be my tiebreaker on being in on it. If you're telling me they're just trying to create a spot to throw another commercial in the game, then I'd have to call them out about that. And then I do hear that, you know, during that two-minute warning, coach will be able to talk to the quarterback in the helmet and all that. So it does lead to that. But to me, the tiebreaker is no additional TV timeout. And so I'd be in on it.
Why you always lying?
All right. As we mentioned earlier, Taylor Swift dropped her latest album, The Tortured Poets Department. My question to you is, let's make some friends or some enemies for you today. Are you in or out on her music?
I'll be honest. I haven't heard enough to make a great judgment. You stumble into these songs a lot. I feel like she's very talented. A lot of people like her. I'm not waking up in the middle of the night to download a new album, if that's the tiebreaker. But there's no denying. I'm not going to be on the other side of millions of people that think that her music isn't appealing. So I feel like I haven't heard enough. And when I am in the car and I've got music on, I would feel like I'm hearing the same song every time. Maybe a little variety would help. But I guess I wouldn't call myself a card-carrying member of the fan club.
No, I can't be a fan, but acknowledging that this woman has a ton of hits, I got to give it to her, man. I got to give it to her. She's not on my workout playlist or my pregame party playlist or anything like that. But the songs that I do recognize that I hear that are played, yeah, I'll bounce to them every once in a while. But yeah, she doesn't get any spins on my in the old car for me, CB. So I wouldn't qualify as a fan, but yeah, I can't ignore the skill and who she is. She's just an absolute star.
You sit on a throne of lies.
All right, my final question for you today is, we saw that the Tyson Foods family and Jerry Jones really put a commitment towards money for the basketball program down in Arkansas. It doesn't feel like we've seen it to the same level with the football program. I'm asking you this to tell the truth. If they did put the same dedication to the football team in terms of NIL, could Arkansas be a contend in the top 15 every single year?
I could see it. I could absolutely see it. You got Cal down there right now, CB, their college baseball program is, I believe, ranked number one in the country. So that fan base is all in with their Razorbacks. And if they know, hey, we got some of these star recruits coming in and committing, and that starts to show itself on the field, and you gain some momentum there. I could see Arkansas becoming a force. There's the big boys in the SEC, obviously, with the Georgias and the LSUs and now Texas and all that. But, yeah, just because of what I've seen in other sports, I could absolutely see that turning into a team that could be a bit of an issue.
Money talks, and that's where we are now. And so momentum's a funny thing. I could see, you said top 15 every single year. That would take a lot of momentum for a long time. So I'm going to say no on that. But I could easily see this team stumbling into a playoff and making some noise. Why wouldn't they? You buy the right players, you coach it up, and you got an expanded playoff now so they could get in that tournament. But I'm out on the perennial top 15.
Before we go, if you missed Mark Schofield talking all things NFL, Sam Amico giving us a Cavs and NBA playoffs preview, and then our guy Jay Lou live from the beach talking all things Guardians, Reds, and MLB, wherever you get your podcast, type in Rothman and Ice, those interviews, and a lot more will be waiting for you. And don't forget, subscribe to the podcast as well.
And I am looking at a half-empty bottle of Cavassier, which means that we are just about out of time.
Indeed. We will see you at the Fan Night at the Fury tonight. If you're going, say hey. And have a great weekend. Conman and T-Bone up next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
The
This is a fan action update.
This action update's brought to you by Tipico Gambling Problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. The Reds and Guardians both at home tonight. The Guardians are hosting the A's at 7:10 and are -175 favorites on the money line. Cleveland is the current AL Central favorite at +130. The Reds start a series with the Angels. Reds are 9-9 on the season. Currently have the second worst odds to win the NL Central at +550. For your Tipico action update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan.
Good afternoon. I'm Paul Keels. The NCAA has approved for college football in-helmet communication between players and coaches. Automatic timeouts at the end of each half, similar to the NFL's two-minute warnings. Teams will also be able to use tablets on the sideline to view in-game video. Baseball. Cleveland Guardians, who lead the AL Central at home, to begin a series with the Oakland Athletics tonight. Cincinnati Reds will try and snap a three-game skid when they host the Los Angeles Angels. Columbus Clippers continue their home series at Huntington Park with Buffalo. NBA playoffs resume tonight with a pair of play-in matchups in the East. Chicago at Miami to determine the number 8 seed. In the West, Sacramento and New Orleans also to set the 8 spot. First full round series begin tomorrow, including the Cleveland Cavaliers hosting Orlando. This update brought to you by Nature Stone. Schedule your free cost estimate today at naturestone.com. It's not just a floor. Wow, it's Nature Stone. Breaking sports news. What it happens on the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2-for-2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.